Now judgment has come. The Lord will bring his wrath to bear upon Egypt. Chapter 11 of Exodus, verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, yet will I bring one plague more. One more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. And after that plague, afterwards, he'll let you go. This is judgment. Patience and long-suffering has ended. And God has called me into account. And he said, after I visit him in my wrath, he'll let you go. And when he shall let you go, he'll thrust you out of hence altogether. Now, if you hold that place and turn to Ecclesiastes, and this is something that the people of this world do not understand, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, that God is long-suffering and God is patient. And God gives a man space to repent. But when the cup is full, and when the long-suffering and patience is spent, judgment. And there's no turning back then. There's no mercy. There's no space to repent. When God says it's over, it's over. And that's what he's saying here in verse 1 with Pharaoh. It's over. It's over. It's done. The call has been extended. Patience of God's been exercised. The long-suffering of God. But now it's over. And Pharaoh's a dead man. I know he's praying for him now. I know he's talking to him now. It's over. God says judgment is here. Now, and this is what folks don't see. And listen to this. In Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. Because God doesn't act in judgment, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. In other words, people start out in left field here and their rebellion and rejection, and God doesn't step on them right then, because he doesn't step out in judgment right then and deal with them right then. But he's patient and long-suffering, gives men space to repent, to change. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I got by with it today. I'll get by with it tomorrow. I got by with it the next day. By with it the next. And Pharaoh did. He just kept hardening his heart, hardening his heart, said, no, no. It's over now, God said. Listen. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know it'll be well with them that fear God, which fear before him, but it won't be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not God. It can't be well. God's going to... Here's one more. Look at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, 35. And this is where Pharaoh, the place to which he had come, that patience is ended, long-suffering is over, and God is judging him. In Deuteronomy 32, 35, it says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand. And the things that shall come upon them, make haste. And that's what we're reading about over here. We go back to the text. It's an awesome thing. It's a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, an angry God. And verse 2 of Exodus 11 says, speak now in the ears of the people. Let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman borrow of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. The word borrow there is request. You can write that in the margin. Require or request or even demand. You see, these people had worked for the Egyptians 400 years. You say they're borrowing, but they don't intend to pay it back. They've paid it. They've paid it over and over and over again. They worked 400 years in slavery. Now they're requiring of the Egyptians. They're demanding. They're requiring and they're demanding and requesting, give us this gold and silver. We're about to leave here. We're about to leave here. All right, verse 3. And here's, will they give them it? Will they give them what they need? They'll do it willingly. God makes his people willing. Now watch this, Tom. And the Lord gave the people of the Israelites favor in the sight of the Egyptians. You mean these Egyptians are going to take off their rings, their earrings, and their bracelets and give them to these Israelites? That's right. God will make them willing. God will make them willing. God Almighty will use whatever he's pleased to use for the good of his church and his people. Soften the heart of the Egyptians towards the Israelites. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt. This is the man that brought the pestilence and the plagues upon Egypt. And yet, he's held in high esteem in the eyes of the Egyptians. God did this. God did this. Our God has control even over the thoughts, imaginations, and hearts of men. The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. He'll turn it whithersoever he will. Men do what they want to do, and in doing what they want to do, they will do what God wills them to do, even the ungodly. God restrains wrath. He uses it for his glory, and he restrains the rest. And he gave Moses favor in the sight of the people. Moses was great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Even the servants in the palace admired Moses. They were talking behind the doors, Pharaoh's a fool for battling this man. This is a man of God. They were serving Pharaoh, but they were admiring Moses. And Moses said, now listen, this is a man that come to Pharaoh again and again and again. He said, let my people go. Like his God, he's restrained his anger and his wrath, and he's spoken kindly, spoken affectionately. He was raised in this city. He grew up in this palace where he's now preaching. The present Pharaoh here was like a brother to him at one time. I imagine he was his half-brother in the same family. And Moses is angry now. Don't you listen to him. Verse 4. He knows it's judgment time. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the land of Egypt. What did God say? I wish we'd quit adding to the word of God. It said the death angel came through Egypt. No, I beg your pardon. God said, I'm coming through. I'm coming through. I hear people say, well, God doesn't send a man to hell, they send themselves. No, God sends them to hell. Men don't even know where hell is. How could they send themselves there? That's right. And they're not going to do it willingly. They're going there unwillingly. Men come to Christ willingly, they go to hell unwillingly, unrepentant. God said, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne. Now here's a lot of things that, here's some things that that us natural people don't understand. The fallout of judgment. It even strikes down those who are not involved in the rebellion. Now, Pharaoh is, and his firstborn. You say, well, he had it coming. He's getting his comeuppance. But now read the next line. Even to the firstborn of the maidservants behind the mill. What's she got to do with this? This is the little maid that carries water up to the mill. Minds her own business. Works hard. Never had a dime in her life. Just fell in love with this young boy, and they married, and they've got a little boy now. Oh, 2 years old. How she loves him. He's going to die. God's going to kill him tonight. Because that brainless leader up there won't let him go. Won't let God's people go. And we need to understand. You take this thing that happened out there in Waco, 17. Everybody keeps hollering about the children, the children, the children. God Almighty will judge men down to the third and fourth generation. That's right. I mean the leaders and the people in authority and the rulers in this country are responsible. And we can talk about the innocent suffer. Sure they do. AIDS is a judgment upon homosexuality and sodomy and perversion. And it's not over. And it's going to reach people that wouldn't do that for all the money in Georgia. It's going to reach your children, little children, babies, unborn. Judgment. That's right. You can see it right. This is it. Judgment. When God's long-suffering patience comes to an end and the space for repentance is over, it's judgment. It's judgment time. And it falls upon nations. It falls upon cities. It falls upon communities. It falls upon the world. It's judgment time. Just like the flood. Like burning up Sodom. They burned up children. The maid behind the mill. And the firstborn of the cows. And the horses. I tell you, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And he says in verse 6, and there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. Can you imagine it? Every home in Egypt, death. Every home without exception. Nothing like it before, nothing like it since. But, oh, the grace of God. Who am I? Who are you? But against any of the children of Israel, against any of my sheep, my people, my chosen. And he said, the Lord thy God hath chosen thee. He didn't set his love upon you because you were more than any people, because you were better, wiser, better morally, but because the Lord loved you, because the Lord would keep his oath, his covenant, which he swore to his son. He chose you. And against any of the children of Israel shall not even a dog move his tongue. When God redeems, he redeems fully, wholly, and completely. Not even a dog will bark at him. You talk about the untouchables. These are the original untouchables. Touch not my anointed. Touch not my sheep. Touch not my people. There isn't a power in heaven, earth, or hell that can touch one of God's elect. Can't do it. I'm coming through Egypt tonight, and there's going to be death, wholesale slaughter in this entire land, and not one single individual or home will be spared except my people. And against my people, not even a dog will bark. That's protection in my hands. Can't touch them. That you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Who made the difference? God made the difference. God made the difference. He says, not against any of the children, not one shall be lost. He said, all that my Father giveth me will come to me. Not one of them. That you may know that God puts it, there's no difference but by nature. There's no difference in you and I and this world. The most wicked person in this town. There's no difference by nature between me and him and you and him. By nature. But there's a difference by grace. And he made the difference. He made the difference. Christ Jesus is the difference. The difference is we have a substitute. We have a mediator. We have a savior. We have an intercessor. God doth put a difference. There's a difference in his attitude towards them and us, his love between them and us, his grace between them and us, his action between them and us. There's a difference. Now, you read throughout the Scripture, but there is no difference. There is no difference. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no difference. The same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. But there is a difference between the sheep and the goats, between the believers and the unbelievers. And God made the difference. God made the difference. Verse 8, and all these thy servants, Moses speaking to Pharaoh here now, and he said, Pharaoh, you're going to find out God made a difference. You'll find that out. I know people running up down the streets and in the pulpits hollering, God loves everybody the same, God wills the salvation of all men, Christ died the same for all men, all this. One day you'll see God made a difference. God made the difference. And Pharaoh, he saw it after a while. You're going to know, he said. And all your servants, verse 8, will come down to me, Moses said, and they're going to bow down themselves unto me, and they're going to say, get out of this land. And all the people that follow you, take them and go. And after that, he says, I'll go. I'll go. The Lord declares the end from the beginning. The Lord will be magnified. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and kings of kings. They are. Moses said, I'm going to give them an opportunity to admit God's with us, God's in us, God's among us. They're going to admit it. The whole world's going to admit it. They're going to see it. And Moses said, then I'll leave. I ain't leaving until that takes place. God's going to be glorified. His name's going to be magnified. Then everybody's going to confess that he's among us. And they're going to beg us to leave. They're going to ask us to leave. We're not going to slip out under cover of darkness. We're not going to sneak out. We're going out with the blare of the trumpet. And everybody's going to stand wanting us to go. Please get away. Just get away. Just get away. Get away. And watch this. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. In the heat of anger. Moses, his patience is at an end. He reflects the wrath of his God. That's right. You can see him standing there before Pharaoh, and he's ambassador of God. He was ambassador of goodwill. He's ambassador of bad tidings now. And you don't deliver bad tidings in a happy mood. He's mad. He's angry. He says, she's coming. Get ready. Judgment's coming. And the Lord said to Moses, now Pharaoh's not going to hearken to you. Isn't that shame? And that they're not going to hear you. How many times the Lord God said that to a prophet? Go tell them, but they're not going to hear you. Go warn them, but they're not going to hear you. Go preach to them, but they're not going to hear you. It led Isaiah to cry, Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Go tell them, but they're not going to hear you. Moses, he's not going to hear you. What's wrong with him, Lord? He's deaf. He's blind. He's a rebel. He hates me. He hates God. He hates truth. He's not going to hear you. that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders. Wonders don't bring men to God. Grace does. Wonders and miracles don't bring... When are we going to learn that? Oh, Lord, if you'd just come and heal a bunch of people and demonstrate some of your power and send some plagues and earthquakes, they just curse God more. Why should you be stricken? He said, you'll only revolt more and more. Your whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the feet to the top of the head, there's no soundness. He said, you do your wonders and all these things. They won't hear. They won't hearken. He would not let the children of Israel go out of the land. All right, now chapter 12. And then the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. Now here's the high point of Moses' entire law and revelation. Chapter 12 of Exodus. This is the high point. This is the clearest, greatest, plainest picture of Christ's person and work in the entire Old Testament. In this passage of Scripture, the Lord preached to the Jews the whole gospel. The whole gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus. It's all right here in chapter 12, first 14 verses. I want you to watch it now, and as we read it, think about this. In the choice of the sacrifice, it was a lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God. In the characteristic of the lamb, without blemish, without spot. In the death of the lamb, and the sprinkling of the blood. In the eating, roasting and eating of the lamb, and resting behind the door. In the results, morning dawns. Not one death where there's blood. And not one living where there was no blood. This is the gospel. All right, look at it. Verse 3, speak to the children of the congregation. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now take a lamb out of the fold. Our Lord Jesus Christ was taken from among men. He didn't come down here on a white horse. He's made of a woman, born of a woman, lived among men. God appointed him from among the brethren. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next door, next unto his house, take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating, make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish or spot, 1 year old, in the prime of life, without sin. Our Lord Jesus knew no sin, had no sin, did no sin. Take it from among the sheep or the goats. Keep it up to the 14th day. That's 4 days, isn't it? Observe it. Make sure there's no spot. He was kept for 33 years, tested, tried by heaven, earth, and hell. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill that lamb in the evening. Shed its blood and take the blood. I shall take of the blood and put it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein thou shalt eat it. Two things are seen here. God didn't put the blood on the door. They did. Two things are seen here. Heart faith. Faith led him to kill the lamb. And faith led him to put it on the door. We rest in the crucified Christ and we confess him publicly. That's what they did, wasn't it? Faith led them to Moses to slay that lamb. And faith led them to openly, publicly put it on the doors of their houses. God's coming through in judgment. We don't stand a man outside. We don't put our children outside. We put the blood out there. And we go in the house and shut the door and sit down. And God said, when I see the blood. And that's what we trust for salvation. We trust. Faith leads us to look to the crucified Lamb of God. And faith leads us to confess him publicly And I tell you what I believe in here. You tell us what you believe in here. We follow him in baptism. We confess him. We say publicly, my faith is in Christ, in the blood. Nothing else. I'm not putting on a show. I'm not standing up here waving and acting a fool. I'm resting in the blood. Sit down quietly. Rest in the blood. And verse 8, they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast it with fire. That shows you how he died. Under the wrath of God, the fire of God's wrath. Unleavened bread. Leaven is evil. It's a type of evil. That's the reason this is unleavened bread. Because in the Passover, there wasn't any leaven anywhere in the house. It was gotten completely out of the house. You see, unleavened bread indicates sincerity of profession. There's no hypocrisy. There's no hidden hypocrisy in this confession. It's Christ and Christ alone. There's no hypocrisy. It's all Christ. You trust him. You put the blood on the door. You do it with unleavened bread, without hypocrisy and insincerity. It's Christ that saves us. And watch this. And you eat it with bitter herbs. Eat with bitter herbs, thou shalt eat the lamb. What are the bitter herbs? It's sorrow over my sin. It's repentance of sin. The bitter herbs is we taste the bitterness of our sin. In other words, we come to take this bread and this wine, but we do it because we're sinners. And when we can, like that song we just sang, infinite sin, infinite, infinite sin. My sins go over me. David said, my sins are ever before me. I taste them, I feel them, I regret them, I weep over them. That's the bitter herbs. Oh, what a taste. That's the bitter herbs. And he says here, eat of it raw. Not sodden. Christ has to die. Don't eat it raw. Don't eat it raw. Eat not of it raw. Christ has to die. It has to be burned, roasted. Don't sodden it with water. Don't add anything to him. Not with water or wine or gravy or anything else. Just Christ is all. Nothing added to Christ. Any of your professions and duties and deeds and gifts and so forth. Eat not of it raw and sodden with water. But roast with fire. And his head, his legs, with the pertness thereof. Eat all the lamb. Nothing's to be left. Can't have half a Christ or a third of a Christ or a human Christ or you prophet only. Got to have prophet, priest, and king. Divine Christ, human Christ, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, wisdom. It's all in him. Eat all of him. I receive him like he is. I receive all of him. He's everything. I'm not leaving anything out. Not leaving anything aside. Nothing left to the morning. If you got any left, burn it. And that means don't save the cross and worship it. Don't save the tomb. When they got this lamb and without spot or blemish and they slew this lamb and they put the blood on the door and they ate the lamb and they didn't save a remembrance of the lamb so they could have a shrine made out of it. They ate it all. If there's anything left, burn it. They have no recollection of this, what went on this night, except the grace of God. And this is the thing about the cross and the tomb over there and the birthplace of Jesus and the burial shroud or whatever they call it. And nothing left. Burn it. No memories. Nothing left. Only him. In his love and mercy and grace. Don't keep anything till the morning. Don't save anything out. Don't save a hoof. Don't save anything. Let nothing remain to the morning. That which remains to the morning, burn it. And thus shall you eat it. Now watch this. Eat it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet. You're leaving this place. Egypt is no longer your home. Egypt and its glories, Egypt and its pleasures, Egypt and its connections, Egypt and its social society, Egypt and its applause, Egypt, you are packed, you got your clothes on, you got your staff in your hand, you're leaving this place. You're leaving this place, and that's That's what's settled in a believer's mind. When he receives Christ, when he believes on Christ, his bags are packed. He just stays. He's pilgrim here. This world's not his home. He's a pilgrim. He's passing through. He's on a journey. He's like Abraham, living in tents with Isaac, and he's looking for a city. Somebody says, Abraham, I've got one of the finest ranches over here. I'm just not interested. If you hadn't seen this thing, I know, but he said, I'm not staying here. I'm going to my eternal home. Got my bags packed. Got my bags packed. Staff's in your hand. You eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. He's passing over and I'm passing through. That's right. That's what I was talking about Sunday when we come to realize that everything here is temporary. It's fuel for the fire. It's been put under judgment. The fashion of this world passeth away. That's what these people are showing here when they eat the Lord's Passover. They're standing here in Egypt, but they're about to leave. And if they leave tomorrow, fine. If they leave a week from now, if they leave a month from now, but they're still leaving. It's temporary. A friend of mine was holding a meeting somewhere. Well, Scott Richardson, holding a meeting in a town, staying in a motel. And he just checked in that morning. He was sitting there in the room. A buddy came in, and he went over and started straightening the picture. Scott said, I'm not going to stay. He said, I'm just busy in here. You don't need to straighten the pictures. I'll be leaving in a couple of days. So it doesn't matter to me whether the pictures are straight or not. That's what I'm talking about. It'd be fine if they're straight or fine if they're crooked, but we're leaving. That's what the picture here. Verse 11, verse 12 says, and I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I'll smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, man and beast, against all the gods. That's the leaders. Princes of Egypt, I'll execute judgment. I'm the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. Not a sacrament, a token. A picture, a type. It's the blood of Christ that holds back the judgment of God, not an animal blood. But it'll be a token. And when I see that blood, I'll see his blood. When I see that blood, I see Christ's blood. When I see that Passover lamb, I'll see our Passover lamb. And I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be to you a memorial. You keep this feast of the Lord throughout your generations. Keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. I quickly turn to Luke 22. And this is what our Lord was doing that night when he instituted this table of which we are about to partake. In Luke 22, if you look at Luke 22, verse 13. And they went and found as he had said unto them, they made ready the Passover. This is the last one. The last one. Because our Passover Christ is about to die. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And the apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, that which the have received of the Lord, I delivered unto you, how that the same night in which our Lord was betrayed, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, and said, this, eat, this is my body broken for you. eat in remembrance of me. Took the cup and blessed it, gave thanks, and he said, this is my blood shed for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.